This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now enjoy today's message with Ted Cunningham.
Usually every year in January, we do a vision series as we set up for the year. But as the staff leaders have shared with me, a better time for that would be August as we prepare for the new school year. And so today we're launching a series that's going to take us all the way through August, talking about who's in our seats. And today we're going to talk about rolling out the red carpet and the hospitality we desire to show the community and the crowd here each week at Woodland Hills. And I want to start by just talking about, you know, the obvious of saving seats at church and how stressful that can be on some of you. Some of you are the early bird in your family. Raise your hand if you're the early bird. You get places to show up to strew the coats and the purses. Remember in the old days at the church with bulletins, and you would and sometimes it'd be a family reunion you're trying to hold these seats for. And I want to speak on your behalf for just a moment to your inconsiderate family members. You got here early while they just took their time in the drive-thru at McDonald's or at Starbucks, giving no thought to you. And I want to say this with all the love I can muster up. We hate you. Knock it off. You're making our lives miserable. We've had to tell no less than 20 people, sorry, these seats are saved. Okay, but there's somebody worse than that person that doesn't show up on time. It's the person that doesn't show up. You saved a seat and they decided not to come. You are out of the will. You will get no money upon my death. I remember years ago, I was at a church in Kansas City sitting on the front row, and they like put their announcements on cards, and they had them on every seat. So if there were 1,000 seats in this auditorium, every seat had one. And the service, there were two or three songs in, and I'm standing at the front, and this family walks by me, and they're looking for seats. They do a lap, they come by me again. And that's when I realized they thought those cards were saving seats for people. And I thought, do I just let them keep taking laps? Or do I remove a card? And I said, we are saving this seat just for you and for your family. And right before the pandemic, our church was running around 2,000 people on campus on Sundays. And, you know, coming back from the pandemic, we took about 8 weeks off, and then we built all the outdoor seating and tried to get people coming back. And so we had about 800, 1,000 people that came back pretty quick that summer. But then we got back to the 2,000 number, and 5 years later, we're at the 3,000 number on campus on the weekends. And then special days, we can hit 3,500. And obviously Easter, we go over 4,000. And so today we're talking about who's in our seats and who we want to invite to be a part, and how do we make room for them, and how do we treat them when they're here? And we know finding a seat at church can be hard. If you're new to Woodland Hills, where should you sit? And I love this guy from Mississippi. He's going to give you just a real quick tutorial to help you find where the best place for you to sit at Woodland Hills is.
If you're new to church and you don't know where to sit or the kind of people that you want to hang out with, I'm going to break this down for you. This circled section is the front of the pew right here. These people do not cuss. They do not drink. They do not listen to any kind of music other than Christian music. Okay, if you go over to their house, you are probably going to have a very Christian time, I will just tell you, okay? A lot of homeschool right here, a lot of homeschool. Most of the time they'll be late and you will hear their kids in the service, but they are good people and they will love you no matter what. Middle section right here is more of your normal Christian. They're gonna be listening to Morgan Wallen and Hardy when you go over, probably partaking in the Lord's Supper a time or two. They'll be following the service on their cell phone. They always forget their Bible. They're more like laissez-faire, have a good time. You will have a good time if you get to know these folks. These people have hate in their heart, okay? That's where we sit. I am a back row Baptist, okay? When your kids act up here, we are going to talk about you and your entire family and bloodline at Sunday lunch, okay? We are very judgmental. We have fought with our spouse the entire way to church, and we are thinking about how we are right during the service. All we do is watch people and their kids and then our phone to make sure the preacher doesn't go too far over. These are your most judgmental Christians, or they don't know Jesus at all. These will provide the best times of secular activities, but you could end up in jail.
All right, everybody up here, turn around and look at them. So Well, today and every Sunday, not just special days at our church, today and every Sunday, we are rolling out the red carpet. What do we mean by that? It's just a very special welcome. We're glad you're here. We've been thinking about you. We've been preparing for your visit. From the parking lot experience, which we hope was good, how you were greeted, the golf cart ride, to the drinks that you were served, and every week we've lost count of how many people tried to pay us for these drinks, to how your children are received and cared for, to someone helping you find a seat. Let's hear it for Al and Joe and all the folks here across campus. To answering your questions, to even our prayer team. I don't know if you know this, but the number of times people on the prayer team and even throughout the week meeting with people to pray and minister to them, they will, almost like concierge service, go and pick up kids from work if they need. I mean, they are here to serve. Their desire is to serve. But it's also the person you're sitting by right now who can simply ask the question, how you doing? And this one I love asking. I ask it every week to countless people on this campus. Where are you from? Because nobody here is from here. And you always get a great story. So why are we here today? Why do we gather? This is so important to start off with, to understand that the church is made up of believers. It's people who have professed faith in Christ. Believers. That's why you hear some pastors make this statement often. You can't go to church when you are the church. So you are the church. But today on campus, we have the church gathered, but there are people here who are not believers. They'll be in all three gatherings. So what are we doing here? Well, five things. We gather today to worship God, to become more like Jesus. We want to take on the teachings of Christ, the life of Christ. But the service or the gathering is so much more than just worship and just opening our Bibles to read. That is part of it, a major part of it, but there's so much more going on every time we gather, believer in Christ Jesus. We also enjoy fellowship with one another. That's why we try to put as much time between gatherings as we can so you don't have to rush out. You can get here early. You can greet friends, family, new people. We're also here to serve others. Over 400 people at our church today are here to serve. That's what it takes. It takes over 400 people a Sunday to make a gathering happen. And we're here to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died and rose again for you and your sins. And the reason we offer hospitality and the reason we roll out the red carpet is because we want you, and we read this in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And we want you to find faith in Christ. And so the strategy behind all of this, and if you've been to Starting Point, you know we share this. We're going to be going through this in this series. And today we're talking about the community and the crowd. And we're going to move toward the center, the core of the church, these 400 people who are here today making up and making this place happen. But the community, we would describe our community as Southwest Missouri, Northwest Arkansas. And our desire, as we go out and do our jobs this week, as we go out to restaurants, as we go to stores, that we are a presence in the community and welcoming people to what God is doing at the gathering at Woodland Hills Family Church, and that's the crowd. And today, we in the crowd will have believers and we will have non-believers. As you take steps in your faith, and as you take steps in this church, we want you to understand this clearly. Moving from the community to the core isn't about privilege. Just the opposite. Moving from the community to the core of this church is about commitment, and it's about serving. It's about descending into greatness. Moving toward the core means greater commitment in your life and greater service. So, when we think about the gathering, I want to take us today to James. It's very important that we understand the heart of our Father in heaven toward people, and that we carry ourselves in a way every time we gather to reflect his heart and to share in his heart. And in James, we read, suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes. It's very important to understand. This passage is not about the gold ring and fine clothes. It's not about telling you, stop dressing up for church. This is not the point. You just know this is a person who has money, who has wealth, who can offer some things. He says, and at the same time, a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. And I'll be honest with you, I hope both are here today and both are here regularly. But how do you treat these people when they show up? How do you treat the rich man and the poor man, the rich woman and the poor woman? How do you care for them? Well, it says very clearly, verse 3, if you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, we're going to be taking an offering in a minute, and we would like you to give. We got some things we'd like to do. And you know, if there's one thing that churches get blasted for all the time, and pastors get blasted for all the time, it's being money hungry. It's the desire for money. And so let's treat the rich person well so they'll give more and fund what's going on. But James is telling us that is not how it should be. I have friends that do ministry in parachurch ministries. And, you know, they do donor events and they do golf and this and golf and that. And they'll say, why doesn't the church consider? And I'll have to say, we're not allowed to. Like, I'm not allowed to have a special event where I treat some people special and neglect the other. But we have Bible verses on this stuff. Like, we have to be very careful that we don't treat the wealthy with special attention, special privilege. But it's not that we neglect them either. It's like you and I are called. It's very clear. You say to the poor man, you stand there, you sit on the floor by my feet. And look at what it says in verse 4. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? This is not the heart of our Heavenly Father for you or for me. We should be engaging the wealthy when they step in, and we should be engaging the impoverished when they walk in. And it goes beyond just when they walk in, but they're the ones we should be inviting. And how many of you drove by someone today on the way to Woodland Hills today? They were just coming out of their hotel room because that's where they call home, or they were headed toward it, or they were walking to work. Our desire as a church is to be welcoming and to be bringing them in and to say, come on, be a part of what God is doing at Woodland Hills. We are not to be showing favoritism to certain groups of people. Just the opposite. We don't show special attention or give special treatment to big deals because we believe every person that walks on this campus matters to God and should matter to us. Every person here today, in my mind, is a big deal, and we're glad you're here. You matter. Timothy Keller, Pastor Timothy Keller, went to be with the Lord a couple years ago. He said this, biblical hospitality goes far deeper than merely entertaining your family and friends. Okay, it goes beyond just having someone over for a nice meal. When you talk biblical hospitality, in the Bible, hospitality is proactively seeking to welcome the marginalized, the people that don't get invited anywhere, the people that don't have others in their life to say, come over, I want to entertain you or to show you hospitality. Jesus, in Luke 14, said it this way. Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. I don't think Jesus could be any more clear in this text. Verse 13, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. When we talk about rolling out the red carpet, by the world standards, the red carpet is for elites, dignitaries, celebrities, but Jesus rolled it out for the least of these and said, you have a very special welcome for the least of these and for the sinner. And I'm here to tell you, if a church or if you in your life make the decision to go after those who are caught up in sin, yes, it can be messy, it can be awkward, it can be uncomfortable, but this is who Jesus came to seek and to save. And we're to go after them. But when you follow Jesus and welcome sinful people, you're going to be accused of all sorts of stuff. He was. Luke 15, 2, we read, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, I tried to put it in their tone. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. How unclean, how nasty is that? But this was the heart of Jesus, and it should be our heart as well. He didn't welcome sinners to affirm their sin. He didn't welcome sinners to say, you're okay. No, the way you're living is fine. Because he came to seek and to save the lost. He came so that they would repent and believe in him. And when we offer hospitality as a church, that is what we're doing. And that's what I want to spend the next few minutes encouraging us with, is hospitality as a church, because we believe that excellence in environment and experience that you're experiencing today, it honors God and inspires people. And this is why we put a lot of energy and a lot of time into it. Author and pastor Max Licato says this: it's no accident that hospitality and hospital come from the same Latin word, for they both lead to the same result, healing. You came in, I love the specialty drink. How many of you are grateful for whoever handed you this drink today? I love it because it's telling people you matter, we thought of you. You may think you're just giving somebody a simple drink, but the statement that it makes, when you open the door to someone, you're sending this message: you matter to God and to me. You may think you're just saying, come over for a visit, but what your guest hears is, I'm worth the effort. I am worth the effort. Years ago, Dan Cathy was sharing with me as he's so passionate about the Lord's chicken at Chick-fil-A. He said, we get our word restaurant from the French word that means to restore. And a good meal should restore you 70% here and 30% here. Unless you're a teenager, then it's flipped. He said, But a good meal isn't just about the food you're eating. And this is why we read in Acts chapter 2, right? The believers, they ate together with what? Glad and sincere hearts. Fellowship around the Lord. And our desire is to provide that every single week, not just on special days at Woodland Hills, but every single week as we invite people from the community to be a part of the crowd here gathering on Sunday morning. I love the stories and encourage you to look up the TED Talk by Will Gadara, but he wrote a great book called Unreasonable Hospitality. And I love the subtitle. The subtitle is The Remarkable Power of Giving People More Than They Expect. And that's what happens every week around here, from our children's ministry to our student ministry, our young adult ministry, our prayer team. Hospitality, they're giving people more than they expect. We love the moments where people are like, I didn't see that coming. Will Gadara, he owned one of the nicest, finest restaurants in New York City called 11 Madison Park, bought it in 2006. And shortly after he bought it, it hit the list of the top 50 restaurants in the world. But nicest restaurant in New York. If you Google 11 Madison Park, you're going to see this unbelievable, beautiful dining room. You've probably seen it in movies and on TV. It'll look familiar to you. It's gorgeous. And he said, what took us on that 50 top restaurants list to number one restaurant in the world, not too many years ago, they became number one restaurant in the world. He since sold it. I would too. Number one restaurant in the world. He said, what landed us at number one was a hot dog. Now, 11 Madison Park, if you go there, you're going to spend anywhere between $300 and $500 a person. Okay, so this is not Lake Cracker Barrel, okay? This is 10 and 15 course tasting menus. Unbelievable service and hospitality. He said one afternoon we had a pretty busy lunch schedule, and so as the owner, he's out there bussing tables. And if you've seen him talk, you know this is just his personality. He said he went over to a table with four foodies that were visiting New York City. And as he's clearing the appetizer portion of their meal, he hears them talking about all the finest restaurants they've been to in New York City. And he just started listing them, and they've been to all of them. They're like, can you believe this has been the trip of a lifetime? But then he heard one guy say, my only regret is that we never got a New York City hot dog. That was all Will Gadara needed to hear. He gathered the plates, went back to the kitchen, dropped them off in the kitchen, and he headed across the park that was just right next to the restaurant over to a hot dog stand and bought a $2 New York City hot dog. He said the hard part was convincing the chef to serve it. But since he was the owner, he was able to get him to serve it. And he said, would you please serve this? And the guy's like, you got to be kidding me. But then the chef did it. He cut it into four perfect pieces. He put it on plates. He put a swish of ketchup, a swish of mustard, a swish of sauerkraut, and whatever else you want on a hot dog, relish or whatever. Put it on there, and then right before their last savory course, the chef and owner, Will Gadara, he brings out these hot dogs and set it down. When they were headed back to the airport, what do you think of all the places and the thousands of dollars that they spent on food, what do you think they were talking about? A New York City hot dog. And the reason I love this story is because when we talk hospitality, some people think extreme, extravagant. You got to spend a lot of money. No, Will Gadara says this, if you're in the service business and you want to beat out all the competition, don't use the word service, use the word hospitality. Like if you're a plumber and want to grow your business, everything you plumb, if that's even how you say that, everything, you'd be thinking hospitality. And he breaks it down, the difference between service and hospitality right here. Getting the right plate to the right person at the right table, that's service. They expect that. Some of you are going to go to Cracker Barrel after this or IHOP after this, and you're going to order something. You're going to expect it to take this long. You're going to have expectations. And if you're served well, all of that's going to take place. He says, but genuinely engaging with the person you're serving so you can make an authentic connection, that's hospitality. And that's our desire here at Woodland Hills Family Church, is that there is authentic connection with people and with guests that show up to our church. And I know for a lot of church members, they show up week after week wanting to see the people they know, catch up with the people they know. But I want us all to become experts at giving hospitality and engaging people with where are you from? How you doing? And this church does that so well, but some of you, I'm going to encourage you just to step it up. So we're going to call it, this is real stuff, I love this, maybe it'll become new at our church, hot dog hospitality. And some of you are going, oh, we're getting a hot dog after this service, ain't we? No, okay? We didn't think you want a hot dog at 10:52, and some are going, speak for yourself. Okay, be present and aware. This is key. Open your eyes a little wider at work this week. Open your eyes a little bit wider. Care a little bit more. Try a little bit harder. And realize, and this is what we say at our church, do for one what you can't do for all. So I'm not saying do this with everybody, but find the moment. Will Gadara says, this hot dog thing, it took over his restaurant, where his staff started like, how can we provide this more for our customers and for our guests? And they were given, he actually hired somebody to customize these experiences. Open your eyes wider, care more, try harder, deliver the unexpected. So service is expected. You want to know what ruins all of this? Entitlement. It ruins all of it. If people show up with, I want this, I want that, or they're like, well, this is ruining the whole mood. But deliver the unexpected and customize the service. It doesn't have to be one size fits all. Gadara shares the story about when he was finding an apartment, he and his wife in New York, and he said, you know, when you look at apartment after apartment after apartment after apartment with a realtor, he says, nobody gets to know you better than a realtor. He said, and man, as they get to know you, and they know your financial situation, right? They know so much about you. He said, think about the opportunity they have to customize the experience. He said, at best, when you close on a house in New York, you may get a bottle of champagne in the fridge. At the very least, they're just going to throw the keys on the counter. He said, but what if that realtor was hearing me and my wife the whole time talking about looking for a nook where my wife could put an exercise mat? And just thinking that through, and that's all. And when they finally found the place, she goes, this is going to be perfect. He goes, if we would have walked in to an exercise mat leaning up against that nook with a candle and a welcome to your new, this to me is so easy. Those of you that are housekeepers in hotels, you may not have time for this, but every time I've walked into a hotel and they made me an elephant out of the towels, I am still blown away. Like, how do you have that much time on your hand? Who taught you this? But it's these little moments that we can deliver on. You go to a concert and someone's holding up a sign and saying, your song got me through my cancer treatments. When that artist goes over and sings to that person, and then at the end takes the guitar off and hands it to him, doing for one what you can't do for all, it spreads out through everybody. And so I've been picked on relentlessly for this at our church because staff meetings, you know, we're talking about things we can do. And I said, wouldn't it be cool that when we give the drinks out on Sunday morning, okay, I brought this up years ago. I've been shot down on this idea for 5 years, no less than 5 years. I go, what if when they get their drink, we have three donuts stacked? You're like, you've been to that yard milkshake shop, haven't you? Yeah, I go, what if this? Look at, see, you guys are helping me this today because Sonny was always like, ain't gonna happen, Ted. And I'm like, come on, wouldn't that be a blast? And then the rest of the staff goes, we don't let our kids eat that stuff anymore because of Robert Kennedy Jr. Anyway, I'm like, I grew up on this. That was the 80s, if ever you saw the 80s. But who just, like, who gets excited when they see this? Let me see. Yeah, see? And look, I'm not giving one to everybody, but you get three donuts and a specialty drink. And remember, the offering boxes are located right in the back. I'm just kidding. I was talking to David Nasser, who was here a couple weeks ago, about this, and let me get this fresh for the 11:45. And he said, Ted, I have felt incredible hospitality while eating potato chips on a pontoon boat. And I said, that'll work in the Ozarks. He said, I felt so included and so welcome, but I've also eaten $300 meals in bougie restaurants where I felt forgotten. Whew. I just want you to know, the needs of our community and the needs of our church are great. It's vast. People have emotional needs, physical needs, relational needs, financial needs. And I don't know what your job is this week as you head out into the community. I've listed a couple of them: hotel receptionist, housekeeper, car salesman, doctor, dentist, mom, HVAC technician, teachers, pest control technicians. Remind me, I got to make a call. Carpenter, cashier, firefighter, police officer, deputy, truckers, Uber drivers, mechanic. Wait, you get the point. We serve people all week long, and we want to be hospitable. For those of you that work in anything I just mentioned, remember, you are going to come in contact this week with people who just bought their first house, and they're so excited, but you're also going to come in contact with people who were foreclosed on or who are living in a hotel on the strip. You're going to come in contact with people that just got their dream job, and they're so excited, but you're also going to come in contact with people recently fired and unemployed. Going to talk to people who are planning a wedding and at the same time meet people signing the papers on their divorce. Meeting people released from prison and those about to be sentenced. You're going to talk to people who just rang the bell that they're cancer-free. And then you're going to meet someone on the job who was recently diagnosed. On the job, you're going to talk to someone who just welcomed their first child. And at the same time, you'll meet someone who just lost their first child. You and I get to show hospitality every single day in everything we do. We get to lock eyes with people, the marginalized, the sick, the hurting, the highs, lows, grief, joy, praise, lament. We get to step into everyday moments. Unexpected, authentic connection can take place and we can meet needs. Invite them to be a part of this gathering. Invite them to what God is doing at this church. I want to end with the story I heard this week from Pastor Josh Howerton about Mordecai Ham. You want to talk about inspiring. He was an American tent revival preacher in the early 1900s. And in 1934, he was in Charlotte, North Carolina with a tent revival. Two teenage boys, 16 years old, walked by, looked inside the tent to find out what all was going on, and they saw that it was packed. And there were no seats available, so they just backed up and started walking away. But an usher saw them and chased them down and said, boys, if you want to be a part of what's going on in there, I will find you seats. The two boys came back. He asked some people to move, and he found these two boys' seats. And that night, Billy Graham gave his life to Jesus. And so did his best friend, Grady Wilson. And to this day, no one knows that usher's name. But he's the hero of this story. He found two boys' seats, and it forever changed their lives and the lives of millions. So the next time an usher at Woodland Hills Family Church asks you to get up and scoot in, Move your hind end. I'm sorry. No, it actually says, please do. But I was in the moment. Please do. Because Billy Graham, you know, went on to do the Crusades. Grady Wilson, you maybe never heard of him. He was the one that organized all the Crusades. I want to encourage you, make room. Because you never know who you're making room for. And if I can encourage you, it's not just making room at the 10 o'clock, but 8:15 and 11:45. 10, if you can move to one of those services. I want you to go out this week and invite someone. Don't even tell them we have a 10. It's 8:15 and 11:45. Hey, did somebody just shoot me down back there? Let's scoot in, make room, and that's who's going to be in our seats, and we're grateful. We're going to continue with this series next week. Would you pray with me? Father, for the one here today who's never placed faith in Jesus, that they not only feel welcomed here today, knowing they matter to you, they matter to us, but that today would be the day they repent of their sins, confess Jesus as Lord, believe in their heart he's been raised from the dead, that they would be saved. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost, and that today they would acknowledge that they are lost. I pray for Woodland Hills. Continue to use this church and this community. Help us to reach out, to bring people from the community to the crowd, to begin showing hospitality, care for them, and that this would be something each of us as part of this church owns and runs with. And for that, we are grateful. We pray all of this in the authority and mighty name of Jesus, and everyone agreed and said, amen.